Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So last week, hundreds of NYPD officers, hundreds, swarmed the Manhattanville and Grant houses, two public housing projects in West Harlem, in what the department said was the biggest gang raid in city history. 40 suspects were arrested, and over 100 people were indicted for a range of crimes, including murder, shootings, gang assaults, and conspiracy. Here with me now to talk about the ongoing violence and what some residents have been trying to do to curb it and why some are not so happy about this crackdown, even though it's being done ostensibly on their behalf, is Daryl Kahn, the New York Bureau Chief of the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange and an adjunct professor at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. And a little later, the council member Mark Levine, whose district covers the Manhattanville and Grant houses, will also be joining us on the phone. But Daryl Kahn, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's good to meet you.
So you've been reporting on the violence in these two housing projects for a while now. Who's involved in this feud, first, by way of background, and what kinds of things have they been fighting over?
As the residents tell it, Brian, it's been residents from the Manhattanville houses and the Grant houses, which is less than a five-minute walk away from each other, across 125th Street in the west side of Harlem. What started it? I've been spending some time with Derek Haynes, whose brother was killed in the 70s when he was just 15. And even back then, there was just sort of a turf war. There was this sort of resentment, sort of teenage angst played out through sort of these two different houses.
And how bad has it gotten? Can you describe some of the violence or the frequency of it?
It's gotten bad. Obviously, most of your listeners have probably had heard about a story from 2011 when Tishana Murphy, known to her friends as Chicken, a very promising basketball star, was shot and killed just feet from her apartment door in the hallways of Grant houses. That was one of the most, an incident that sort of capture the city's imagination. But there have been fights. There's things as silly as throwing rocks and bottles at each other. I know that, you know, with kids as young as 12 and 13.
And listeners, if you live in the Manhattanville houses or the Grant houses or around there and want to talk about this from personal experience, or anyone with a question for our guest, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. So tell us about this raid. What happened last week?
I wasn't there for the raid. I wasn't tipped off like other news organizations that it was happening. I went later in the morning, I guess early afternoon, and spoke to people. All I can tell you is what they told me, that it was quite the show. Lots of cops, lots of anti-riot gear. The very big production. A lot of houses were, doors knocked on. People's houses were raided. They went through their stuff. But there's this one thing I want to clarify, Brian. I know you asked me about the violence. I think it does the people who live in both those houses a great disservice to just say, I'm going to describe what this violence is that's going on. And something that struck me from the press conference that Commissioner Bratton and DA Vance had later that afternoon, the same day as the raid, was for them to call it mindless. I believe the quote was mindless and senseless. I don't know if that's a PR thing for Bratton and for the NYPD to say. It makes it easier to say, well, these are a special class of kids, and a lot of them are kids. This is a 4.5-year investigation. So that means some of these kids that were arrested were 10 and a half, 11, 12, when this investigation started. So if they think those are mindless and senseless, to attribute mindless and senseless violence to kids that young seems to be a great disconnect. And
how would you characterize the violence?
I'm a white guy.
Not mindful and sensible.
No, it's not mindful and sensible. But, you know, I don't live there. You know, I'm a white guy who lives in an apartment building in Clinton Hill. I don't live in those houses. I wasn't raised in those houses. These kids were. And to think that we need to use a sort of City Hall logic to explain away the acts of kids who have, you know, go to crumbling schools and have absolutely no job prospects and, you know, are searching. You just had somebody here talking about fatherhood, you know, who in many cases don't have dads, who have moms that are working that aren't there for them all the time the way other parents are. It's ridiculous. And it just really rubs me the wrong way because I don't think Commissioner Bratton and DA Vance are unintelligent men. So for them to sort of use that kind of tired rhetoric, it bugged me.
So you're a reporter and a think tanker who doesn't...
I'm not a think tanker. I'm just a reporter.
Advocate?
Brian. I'm not an advocate at all. Advocate. Here's what bothers me with that. I'm just a reporter. I've been doing journalism in New York City for almost 15 years. I've worked for the Boston Globe, the Times, Newsday. I worked in the police bureau for several years, you know, on the second floor of 1PP. I understand how the office works. You know, I've heard people say, well, that story was an advocate story. I mean, where I'm come from, that's just cub reporting. Something happens. It's a big incident. And you go talk to people and see what they're thinking. I think a problem right now with how a lot of criminal justice reporting is being done is that we've got this twisted idea of what being objective about it is. And the idea of talking to the other side, a side, I might add, that has absolutely probably one of the most underrepresented politically in terms of media in the entire city, that just give them a fair shake and say, well, what do you think? It's become advocacy journalism. It's ridiculous.
Right? So let's hear from some people who do live there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Sanji in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm a parent of two of my children were caught up in a raid that shouldn't have been in this military-style raid. They had the helicopters over our apartment. They bust our door down. I had grandkids just in there that's traumatized behind this. My baby is the youngest one from the Mahanzo side. He's 15 years old. They've been pulled him into this as conspiracy, and the school came to the court to back us up in court. Like, this, my son is not into this. My oldest son, it's really, I mean, they have been fighting since Tayshauna Murphy has been killed. Tayshauna Murphy caused a lot of chaos along with her brother from the Grant houses. And when they did kill her, it was two guys from the Hattonville, allegedly, that killed her. And these are my son and them friends. So they have to fight every day, these boys, because they wasn't letting it go. We hated the fact that she got killed and those two chose to do that. But don't bring these kids. These kids, every day, they were fighting. Grant houses come up there shooting, fighting every day. And I didn't care. They didn't care if it was kids, old people, nobody. They shoot in the broad daylight. And this is what we had to go through all the time. Our boys had to defend themselves. Because my two, not really the little one, but the older one, I say, why do y'all keep fighting? He said, we have to defend ourselves. They won't let it go. They have nothing to do with that. And now this raid on here, they're coming in here, some of these kids in conspiracy. I'm in this courtroom the other day with my kids. This judge said half of these boys won't see their living rooms for another 15 years. Like, they 4.5 years. What are y'all investigating? Y'all sat there and watched them fight every single day. Mind you, we didn't have no guns found in Manhattanville houses. They were all found in Grant houses. Grant boys right now are threatening the people from on the inside. They're threatening people that they're going to kill on the inside. They're writing it in the paper. These are the first people you need to go after. Not a 15-year-old that goes to school every day and has people behind his back that knows he's a good kid and know that a lot of these other kids are not bad kids, only defending themselves. This is crazy. We're going to have a Speak Out press conference at the Harlem State Building on Friday, June 13th at 6 o'clock. I would like for a lot of people and parents to come out to support us because we have been through a lot behind this raid. They wouldn't let us talk. They talked to us like dogs, made us lay on the... It was just ridiculous. And half these kids are not even gang members. It is so over the top. And Bill Bratton comes in the building and he walks through the house while they're raiding my girlfriend's house. And good morning. Like, they think it's just out of control. And I think this was very excessive. And half of these kids are not even gang members.
Sanji, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Since the fighting was so bad,
yes,
and people were getting shot, as you said,
mm-hmm,
what would you have liked the NYPD to do? Because I'm sure you would have liked them to do something.
Don't get me wrong. I wanted it to stop because it got out of our control. We wanted it to stop. But see, when you got kids you got parents that's very ignorant and telling them, go do this to them every day. Go do this. How do you stop that? We had to have the NYPD involved. Yes, but you're putting a lot of innocent kids in this. It's coming from the grand houses because Tayshauna was killed, and the two that killed her did come from Manhattanville. I don't even think it's Tayshauna no more. I think it went beyond Tayshauna. Mm-hmm. You know, they just fighting and shooting. They come up here every day, or they see one of our boys, they will jump them and beat them and stab them. All of this behind her murder.
Sanji, I'm going to move on and get some other folks in here, thank you very much for speaking out. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Don't forget the press conference on Friday, June 13th, if you can make that aware to everyone.
Thank you.
In front of the Harlem State Building. Thank you.
And we're going to go right on to Nicole in Manhattanville next. Nicole, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling up.
Thank you.
What do you want to say?
I just would like to say that everything the first caller just said, I'm backing up 200%. I've been a resident in Manhattanville for more than 30 years. We never had this type of chaos between the two developments. I still have friends and family in Grant. I can walk these streets whenever I feel like it, and I will continue to do so. Once again, it needs to be absolutely clear. Yes, this little girl, Tayshauna, was going to high school. Yes, she did have promised to go play basketball in college. But when she came home, she assisted her brother, who was a known blood gang member, and they literally went around these neighborhoods in Harlem trying to induct smaller children into their gang. So how that fight escalated to the point that that girl was murdered is why the violence continued on. We in Manhattanville have continuously walked into the NYPD 26th precinct to try to figure out ways to de-escalate these fightings, these stabbings, you know, these kids being jumped, beat up, harassed. And it wasn't just Manhattanville that these Grant children were going around attacking. And let me make this clear. These were not Grant children who were residents of Grant for 20, 30 years. These were new tenants who recently moved in between the last 5 to 10 years.
So Nicole, do you, given that whole scenario that you just laid out with the people from Grant, as you see it, did the NYPD protect you with this raid?
I'll tell you what they did. They tried to show care and concern. And I will give them, sometimes they would come out there, and if someone like me or what I would call an original resident would be out there to assist. Because, again, we're talking about a precinct whose officers were either transferred out, promoted, or whatever. Now we're dealing with new officers who don't know the neighborhood, they don't know the children, they don't know the parents, and they don't know the communication that's needed, you know, to do things like de-escalate something like this. So it was hard, and I get that. But at the end of the day, the way they put together this investigation, got these federal indictments to come up in these homes, trash them, be very unprofessional, break furniture and things of that nature, like, that was just way uncalled for. Because the children that they were looking for that was under indictment, they wouldn't have had no problem apprehending them from these apartments. But the way they did it, that was way out of line, and they know it.
And Nicole, I'm going to leave it there and get some other folks on, but thank you very much for calling us, and I hope things get better in the community. Now, let me go back to our guest, Daryl Kahn, New York Bureau Chief of the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange. You were shaking your head through some of that. I guess we had two callers in a row from the Manhattanville houses talking about how the problem is all being generated by Grant. I know in your reporting you had a resident of the Grant houses who told you she hadn't gone to visit her cousin who lives in the Manhattanville houses in years because she didn't feel safe. So where do you want to jump in on this?
Well, I just wanted to say that there were people who gave the ultimate measure in this dispute. There's Talon Murphy, who's Chicken's father, Miss Brockington, who is one of the people who was convicted of Tayshauna's murder, who is going to be in prison for most of the rest of his life, and like a gentleman I mentioned before, Derek Haynes. Those three people who all lost somebody in the violence there. They put their bodies on the line. They walked the courtyards in both houses. They walked the streets. They went and made themselves available to these kids. And again, I can't...
Trying to de-escalate.
Trying to de-escalate.
As the caller used that word.
Yes. And that was... that. And they were doing that just with, you know, shoelaces, some gum. You know, they had no money, really. They didn't have any support. They had no formal network to do that, but they did it anyway. There's a phrase that you hear out there called both sides of the gun, and that how families are destroyed by both sides of the gun. And that means, you know, kids who get shot and have their lives changed, they're in the hospital, they're paralyzed, they get killed. And these families that are torn apart when someone gets thrown in prison for 25 years. And no one's excusing a gunman, all right? I mean, I'm not here sitting here saying that, but to say that what we're doing. I mean, I've been doing covering these the crime in New York for a long time, and I've seen a number of these busts. And everyone always says, well, this problem doesn't get fixed overnight. But everyone's been saying that for the last 15 years. So when are we going to start the overnight? You know, when does that process start? So I just want to say that there have been attempts. And these are three people who, it wasn't easy for Talon to say, you know, I'm going to go to the mother of the young man who killed my daughter. But he did it. And that was temporarily successful. I can only imagine what that kind of passion and direction, if it had been put into a larger program context, would have done.
Let me also bring in for a few minutes the city council member who represents the area, Mark Levine. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks. Great to speak to you.
What do you want to add here?
Well, look, the folks of Grant and Manhattanville were severely shaken, without a doubt, as you heard from your previous two callers, by a dawn raid with 400 officers and helicopters. But I've also heard an almost universal feeling of relief that we can expect a calmer summer, a less violent summer. People have been fearing another bad season. But the key point, I hear this universally from residents, is a conviction that no amount of arrests is going to prevent the next generation of young people from getting caught up in this, that we have got to invest positively in good experiences for young people through youth programs to prevent them from being drawn into this. And if you look at Grant Houses, it has about 4,500 residents, maybe about 1,800 or 1,900 are young people. From 2010 to 2013, they had zero youth programs. We were able to get them a small one back in place in the last few months. It has 75 slots for middle and high schoolers, nowhere near meeting the need in such a large development. And until we can get resources to programs like that and to leaders like Derek Hayes and his colleagues, then we're going to be asking for a continued cycle of this kind of gang violence.
Mayor de Blasio was elected on a progressive platform that included scaling back stop and frisk. Now we have this kind of raid, which we hear, whether rightly or wrongly, is coming under so much criticism from members of the community, even as they feared the violence that was going on in their midst. Where do you come down on that, and what do you make of Police Commissioner Bratton's leadership here?
I think that they had to take action. There had been, since Ms. Murphy was killed, there had been 19 people shot in these two developments. I think something had to be done, but that if this is the end of our response, then it's an injustice. This should be the beginning of planting seeds to build bonds between young people in both developments so that they have a positive alternative to the violence. I think that even folks who were shaken by this understand action was necessary, but what we haven't heard reported virtually at all in the last week is the severe shortage of resources and youth programs and other services for the residents of both developments.
Do you think that the NYPD could have been more selective in the way they carried out this raid and that there were a lot of innocent young people swept up?
I'm not in a position to make an educated statement on that. I've heard folks saying, including previous callers, that there were people caught up that shouldn't have been, but I'm not in a position to judge that. There was no way, obviously, to give warning to the development because that would have given warning to suspects. So some element of shock is unavoidable. I have some questions about the raid that I'd like answered, but at the moment not willing to make a statement on that beyond my broader point about the need to attack this challenge on many fronts.
On a policy issue, this is budget season. The next fiscal year starts July 1st. City Council and the mayor are negotiating a new budget, and City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito wants funding for 1,000 more police officers, I think, for, you know, particularly housing projects and other neighborhoods like this where there are big problems. And Mayor de Blasio is against it. So I wonder if you get a sense in your district if people want more city resources spent on more police and whether that is a solution in your opinion.
Residents of both developments I spoke to want more cops on the beat, community policing, not cops riding around in sector cars responding to crisis. They want officers who get to know the young people and get to know the neighborhood and can prevent crimes before they escalate. This is sorely absent now, and our focus in the council of asking for more officers is just this kind of community policing, cops on the beat, who can get to know young people, who can de-escalate disputes before they turn violent.
Councilmember Mark Levine, thank you very much. And Darrell Kahn, you want to react to that?
I think if you, Brian, if you heard that there was a problem in Yankee Stadium, would your reaction be, well, let's send in a few extra 1,000 Boston Red Sox fans to calm things down?
Is that how you see the NYPD in this case?
That's not how I see the NYPD. The week before this happened, I spent about a week every day, morning and night, in the Bronx covering a different story. A young man named Javier Payne was thrown through some glass by a cop during an arrest, a 14-year-old boy. And I'd been asking this very question. What I think doesn't matter, but what I heard all over the Bronx and what I'm hearing in Harlem and what I hear in Brooklyn is this relationship is fractured between young black men and women and the New York Police Department. I should say black and Latino men and women. There's absolutely no trust. I went to this, I did a story about sort of a cops kind of a law seminar, like know your rights kind of thing. I spoke to both adults and teenagers there. These are taxpayers. These are kids who are going to college. And they're saying the same thing. Like, they understand the police have a hard job, but most kids have a very, they're scared of the police. They don't feel comfortable approaching the police. And whether that's a reality or whether that's just a matter of perception, to them, it's real. So the idea of sending in more cops as a fix, and, you know, I guess every community wants these cops who are going to go and hand out lollipops to the kids. But this is the NYPD. That's not how they're going to do this. I mean,
Council member, want to have a last word?
Well, there's a right and wrong way to police. There's a way to police that treats communities as partners, and a way to police that treats community as enemies. And I think what many of us strongly protested during the Bloomberg era was a style of policing that put up walls, that created mistrust, the kind that Mr. Kahn's describing. And we're hoping we have the resources to invest in a different kind of policing that it puts an emphasis on human relationships and building trust. And the most important resource in fighting crime is information, and there needs to be a free flow of information between communities and police. That can only happen if there's relationships and trust. And the best way to do that is to have officers in neighborhoods, on the street, getting to know people face-to-face. That's what we're trying to fund.
Thank you very much. And all right, you want another word, Daryl?
I just want to say one thing. That I'm hearing is a lot of frustration out there. Is that Mayor de Blasio used his son as a prop during the election to talk about how empathetic he is to the plight of kids, back in the ones in Manhattanville, like the Javier Paynes of the world and the kids in Grant. And he's basically been silent on this. As far as I can tell, his office has made no comment about this raid. His office has made no comment about the incident that happened with that 14-year-old boy in the Bronx. So I think if he's going to use his son as a prop to get elected, he needs to be able to, you know, say something when this stuff happens under his watch.
You know what, Daryl? Can you stay the rest of the hour, about another 13, 14 minutes?
Yeah,
you
sure.
Available?
Yeah.
And Councilman, you can decide if you want to hang on, too. We have so many people calling from the neighborhood and who want to weigh in on this, which sounds like...
I'm glad, because they don't get a chance to talk very
often.
That's
right. That's exactly why I'm going to cancel the segment that we had planned for the rest of the show and just extend this. And we'll take calls, especially from people in the neighborhood. Our lines are full, so at the moment you can't get in, but it's 212-433-WNYC. And we'll continue with Daryl Kahn, the New York Bureau Chief of the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange, and Councilman Mark Levine, who represents West Harlem. If you want to hang around, too, you can, and talk to callers with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we continue to talk about the raid last week in response to the violence in the Grant houses and Manhattanville houses in West Harlem. In the raid, hundreds of NYPD officers swarmed those two public housing projects in what the department said was the biggest gang raid in the city's history. 40 suspects were arrested, and over 100 people were indicted for a range of crimes, including murder, shootings, gang assaults, and conspiracy. And we're hearing from our callers some of the conflictedness about the real dangers in the neighborhood where violence has been spiking in the last few years, but where also a lot of people really objected to how this raid was carried out, both in the way some of the NYPD officers behaved and in who was arrested and under what pretenses. So we'll continue to take your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, with our guests, Daryl Kahn, the New York Bureau Chief of the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange, journalist who is also an adjunct professor at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, and the city council member who represents the area, Mark Levine. Let's go next to Treva, who is from the neighborhood. Treva, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling because, you know, they keep talking about Grant and stuff. Manhattan Avenue is where this all took place, too. They put guns to my niece's head, my sister's head, and they handcuffed. Then they came into the apartment joyful, clapping. Why? My little niece is petrified. She urinated on herself. They didn't want to even let her mother take care of her. You know, they don't let her know what's going on. They broke the door down. There's a better way. I'm not saying all these kids are innocent, but there's a better way that they should be able to approach people's apartments. It's ridiculous. Now my niece and them is traumatized, you know. It's a way that you should be able to do something. Now, these kids over here on Manhattan Avenue are not considered a gang. There are kids, young men, that try to go to school and work, and they're nothing but friends. They all are friends. They're not gang. They don't go around and shooting and killing and doing none of this stuff. Now, you have Grant projects have problems with all these other different projects. This over here, these kids over here are not considered gang. They're young men that are trying to make things better in their life. for them to come up and do this. They threw my niece on the floor. They handcuffed them and put guns to their head. My niece and them is going, you know, hysterical right now, you know, of seeing this. Now, if you don't trust the police, who can you trust? Now, these kids will walk around here and can't go approach a cop because now these cops put a gun to our head. If you come to rescue someone, why do they have to put all these other people in danger?
You're saying they were handcuffing people who they were not arrested as, like, protective handcuffing?
They handcuffed them and sat them all in different rooms. My niece wasn't even dressed. She asked, can she put clothes on? No, shut up. You can't. I think that's very inappropriate. They broke the house down. They tore up the kitchen, took everything out of the boxes. Like, now these kids are scared.
Was your niece arrested?
Yeah, they didn't take her. They did put handcuffs on her mother and her. They threw her off the bed onto the floor with no clothes on. She asked, can she put clothes on? No. Then they high-fiving each other, laughing, yay. And these kids are scared. These kids are 15, 16. My niece is only 3, and she pees on herself. There's a better way they should be able to go about this. Now these kids are scared.
Treva, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much, and get some other people on, too. Derek in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Derek. Thank you very much for calling in.
How are you?
Okay. What do you want to add?
My comment is this. First, I want to take this opportunity to thank both Mark and Daryl for their diligence in trying to rectify the situation. One of the things that I'm not hearing is how this situation developed and where we're at now. What we must understand is that at one point in time, the Manhattanville Community Center was actually closed for 5 years. So this is actually the result of the system breaking down and not providing the proper initiatives for these kids. What we have now in this area is a CBA agreement, which is a multi-million dollar CBA agreement.
Community benefits agreement, uh-huh.
Right, which is supposed to supply the necessary programs and initiatives for these young men. So one of the things that we're doing...
Is that on the basis of the community benefits agreement with Columbia University, which is building in the area?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
What we're doing now with both sides of the gun is that we've taken the Murphy and the Brockington family, the two families in this area who are the most affected by this situation, and they've come together in a mutual understanding and benefit of the community to show a spirit of unity. And like Daryl mentioned earlier, as well as Mark, this situation needs to be expanded. And when I say expanded, I mean on June 28th, we're developing a safe street on Old Broadway, which is a neutral site of both developments. So what we're trying to do is bring these youth together on a neutral site so they can have safe programs and safe streets. And Mark has been extremely helpful.
Councilmember Levine.
Councilmember Levine has been extremely helpful with getting us on that track, as well as Daryl, because mm-hmm. some of the points that Daryl mentioned are very important. I'm not in favor of the raid. There were other things that could be done. But at the same time, the level of crime was reaching a certain height, and we had to de-escalate the situation. What I'm also in favor for, and this will probably be my last comment as I listen on, is that we need to look at putting a close-to-home program in this area. We need a close-to-home program in this area. If it's just an office to give us a start, then that's what we need. But the community is very concerned about making sure that we have the right juvenile-specific program so when these young men can re-entry back into the community.
Let me ask you, the close-to-home program is for people who are incarcerated, right?
The close-to-home program is actually for people who are incarcerated, but it's a reentry back into the
mm-hmm,
community,
right,
specifically for juveniles.
And how about this? We have a statement from District Attorney Vance's office, the Manhattan DA, announcing the opening of what they call the 9th Saturday Night Lights site next month in the Manhattanville houses. And it says in October 2011, D.A. Vance launched Saturday Night Lights, a youth athletic and academic program with support from the NYPD DEA, Police Athletic League, and Pro Hoops, Inc. It was created in response to the prosecution of several gangs that recruited teenagers and young girls to carry guns and drugs for gang members. And it goes on to describe some of the details of the program. If they are listening right now in the DA's office, is that the kind of thing that would help you? And what else would you want from them to help reduce the violence in the right ways?
Well, that initiative I'm very familiar with, and it's very helpful. But as Mark Levine mentioned earlier, there's only a certain amount of funding that can carry that program. What we need to do is try to get these different youth organizations to come together and leverage not only their money, but their programs. What we need to start doing is what's called human capital expenditures. You know, with this expansion project with Columbia, they're building all of these buildings, but what we're missing is the human capital expenditure, where we actually go into the community and invest in these young men and start the initiatives. For example, we're doing some things right now with Donald Notice. We're trying to set up a situation where we can get these young men OSHA trained. Because as you know right now, if you don't have an OSHA card, you're not allowed on a construction site.
And, Derek, I'm going to leave it there because the show's about to end. I really appreciate your input. We have time for like a soundbite from each of our guests. Daryl Kahn, real quick.
I just want to say the day before this raid, I was a few feet away from D.A. Vance at a conference hosted by Emily Tau Jackson in Columbia. And he was saying, the way my office is set up, the business model is broken. It doesn't work for young people who get into the system young. And I really don't think a fun party night with basketball every other Saturday is going to make that much of a difference if the largest DA's office, one of the largest DA's offices in the country, is broken by his own admission.
And Daryl Kahn, New York Bureau Chief for the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange, thank you very much. Council Member Mark Levine, a last thought in about 20 seconds.
Well, Derek is doing the kind of heroic work on the ground in these developments that we need to support
with
more resources.
The last caller, yeah.
And he's actually a well-known activist, Derek Haynes, who Mr. Kahn profiled in his story. And look, but there's no indoor recreation facility at Grand Houses. The outdoor basketball courts have cracked pavement. I think the kind of program that the DA is supporting with Saturday Night Basketball is great, but we need more of it. And we've got to invest positively in these young people, bring them together between both developments.
And Councilmember and Daryl Kahn, thank you both very much.
Thank
I'm
you,
sorry
Brian.
To say
thank
we're
you,
out
Brian.
Of time. Thanks
Pleasure.
To everybody who called from the community. Keep posting to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.